All right, welcome everybody to the Roundtable, episode number 7. I'm here with my great co-host, Jenny, the superstar Walker. So we're glad that everybody could join us. If you haven't joined us before, just a reminder what the Roundtable is about. So the Roundtable is an opportunity for us to talk about real life subjects, things that are going on. We have joke time with Jenny, so that's one of our segments that we have. And then we take an opportunity to get into scripture to try to take what we learned or what we talked about on Sunday morning, put it into a real life perspective. So it allows us to talk through it and see it through the eyes of different people and try to figure out how to apply it to our life. So welcome everybody. Welcome. Hi. Jenny.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's good to be together again.
Yes,
so we want to start with breaking news.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so
are they ready for that?
I don't know. So breaking news. So Jenny has two incredible announcements.
Two? Oh, I remember the other one. Okay.
You gotta start with the one that really matters.
Right. The Bachelorette?
No. The one that really matters.
Okay, so yesterday was my 2 years of sobriety.
Yay, woo! Producer, clap. Right, we have clapping on our thing.
So crazy.
Yeah, so if you don't know, I mean, Jenny had struggled with, you know, addiction and has had quite a journey. And not only are you sober, but you're living on purpose, right?
That's
I mean, I want to celebrate that, too.
Yeah, so that's
2 years of sobriety is one thing. You know, 2 years of sobriety with living on purpose and having a purpose of how to change the lives of other people is another thing to have our producers put the clapping hands on for.
Yes,
right?
Definitely.
So we're all
needed.
Clapping with you and celebrating
you.
With you. Now,
thank you.
You can decide whether or not you celebrate the second side of the breaking news segment for Jenny.
So last night, I don't know, I seriously do not know what, like, overcame me. I just happened to be thinking about it, and then I felt God just led me there, because it all happened so fast, okay? But I ended up on the Bachelorette site, and, like, I feel like the last time we were talking about it, I was dissing on it. Like, I would not do it, and blah, blah, I don't know what.
I mean, you would do it, you just... Yeah, you know, I mean, we were talking about you kissing everyone, and you're like, "I'm all in on that."
Right, that wasn't the issue.
No, right.
The issue was like just feeling overwhelmed by all this good-looking men, which I don't know. Last night, I was okay with it, so I applied.
Yeah, and what the funny part of it is, when I'm asking Jenny about it, she's like, "You know, last week I just felt like what you were saying, and then God just led me."
Yes.
So
no.
We all have to decide if God would lead people to the Bachelorette.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't he? Maybe my husband's there.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Like Sherry has watched The Bachelorette before, and I'm like, I just can't imagine this. But again,
Maybe they need somebody like me on there.
No, yeah, that like maybe you're
you
the
know?
Answer.
Exactly. Maybe there is a reason and a purpose.
Yeah. So you can either clapping hands from the producer or not. We're not really sure. But she has applied.
Yes, I have.
You know,
yeah.
And so we'll see how that all turns out. So you'll keep us updated.
I'm expecting a call soon.
Really?
Like no. But
listen, don't you have to put a tape together or something?
No, I just put a picture, and I put a picture of me and my dog, so it's hilarious. And
is that the other breaking news, that you had a big session with your dog?
Oh, my gosh, no, but it should be. So
I
had this whole dumb Christmas shoot with my dog, because I like to do dumb things and dress him up. But I did I tell you what I did for Thanksgiving with my dog?
No.
Oh,
you made him into a turkey?
No, but that would have been cute. So we both wore matching t-shirts, and mine says, or said, "My dog is my sweet potato," and his said, "I sure yam." And I posted
it.
I don't think I saw that. It was
anywhere.
On Facebook.
Okay. Well, you know, with everything that's on Facebook, I'm about sick of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm tired of people's opinions. Maybe I should.
Yeah, but mine's
be.
Positive.
Okay, well, maybe
funny.
I'll just go on there and search you.
Yeah, you
and
should.
Look and see what yours has
no
to say.
No negativity on there at all. No.
Okay, so whether you do or don't celebrate Jenny's, we should for sure be celebrating 2 years sobriety and how she's using her story to be able to reach people.
Yeah.
So that's reason to celebrate.
And if you want a Christmas card from my photo shoot, just leave your address, not in the comment section, because that's a little bit creepy. Send me a message. Or come by the cafe.
Yeah, come by the cafe.
Yeah.
She can send you a Christmas card. Why are you getting Christmas cards made?
Yeah, that's the whole joke about the session, was to get Christmas cards.
Oh.
Because I don't have a family. It's just me and my dog. So
okay.
I'm sending up to everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if you find a boyfriend before the Bachelorette?
That would be difficult.
Would you just leave him to go on anyway?
Maybe.
You just want the experience?
No, I'm just kidding.
So if you're out there looking, or you want to date
I think there have been scandals where somebody does have a boyfriend and then they go on there, or a girlfriend, and they still go on there. And then they find out like halfway through the show
that they already were dating somebody.
Yeah.
And they just went on because they wanted to be like, you would kiss them all.
Probably, man. Probably.
Just for the experience.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the other part is we have Jenny's joke hour.
Oh, yes,
so let's do this. She has one that from last week, mm-hmm. right? That
two
she
weeks
tried
ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah. That she tried to do. Taylor gave it to her. She couldn't remember it. We'll see how it goes this time.
I think I got it.
Okay,
I really
we're
do.
We're ready.
Because last time I butchered it, and I just really apologize to Taylor because it's really funny. Okay, here it goes. All right. So what does
it's just going to happen. The one
but
you
I
didn't,
just said it like 2 hours ago.
The one you didn't write on your arm.
I know. Yes, guys. Ooh, I'm shedding. I wrote all the two jokes because I didn't. But I was confident in this one. Okay.
Okay. You
so,
got it. You got it.
What is different about Dubai and Abu Dhabi?
I don't know. What's
okay.
different?
Dubai doesn't like the Flintstones, but Abu Dhabi do.
She got
there,
it out. Whether
that's
you think
it.
It's funny or not.
Yeah.
Taylor gave her that joke. So if you don't like it, go talk to Taylor.
Right, because it's on him. But
yeah,
I think
he said
hilarious.
He thought it was awesome. I'm still a little bit unsure of whether it was awesome or not.
You laughed.
Why laugh? Because you've never been able to get it out. That's part of it. Like, it's hilarious. You're like, I got it. And then you go,
I know. Something goes wrong in my brain.
Yeah, so let's go with the ones you got on your hand.
Okay. All right. I feel like this one's very. Very, like when I
Do
saw
you need to keep your hand out there like a...
So you can't see it?
No, I'm saying so that it's almost like a thing to read.
Oh,
from.
I wish we had one of those.
Yeah, like a teleprompter.
That would be so cool. I love
teleprompters. Okay, here's your teleprompter. Here we go.
I always make it my own words, though. Okay.
Okay.
So this is very fitting because of COVID and all the sickness, but how do you tell if... Wait.
Her hands sweat on all the
no,
words.
No, my hands
are
don't sweat. Okay.
All the words are smeared together.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead. I acted like I was washing my hands in the bathroom because somebody was in there.
Okay, go.
Okay. But anyways. All right. So, but my hand isn't that big, so I couldn't write the whole thing down. So I'm like, Jenny, you'll remember this.
Okay.
Okay. So, how do you tell if a vampire is sick?
How do you tell if a vampire is sick?
By how much he is coughing. Get it? Like coughing? Like, like the coffin he lays in? C-O-F-F-I-N? Okay, it's not
Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
all right, let's
I'm
try
still
you
trying
again.
To decide. Yeah, that one is okay.
I think I messed it up, though.
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry,
how
Google.
How much he's coughing.
All right, got you again.
You
all
got
right.
it off of Google?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Can everybody see this? This one's now on her forearm.
Yes, and it did come off immediately on the shower, so I'm not worried about it. Okay. Did you hear about the guy that cut off his left side?
Okay. Did you hear about the guy that cut off his left side?
Yes, that's true.
Side. His left side.
Side. S-I-D-E.
Side.
Side.
The whole side of his body.
Yes, just imagine.
Okay, no, I did not hear about the guy that cut off his left side.
He's all right now.
Our producer Isaac is just shaking his
that
head.
That was a good one. I like that one.
Yeah. Joke day. And then anything you were looking through, any important things that happened in history on this day?
Nothing. Something about a Ford, but that wasn't important.
The Model A Ford was rolled out on this day in history.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1900 something.
1924.
Are you sure that's right?
No.
All these Model A drivers out there going to be like, that was wrong,
but
wrong. Go ahead and put it in the comments section.
I would put 85% on it.
Huh?
I'm really good with the numbers.
Okay.
If it's one thing I can remember, it's numbers.
Okay. Anything new in life? Watching anything new?
Actually, yes. So I restarted watching. I got a Hulu account because Hulu and Black Friday was having $1.99 the whole entire year. So like for
$1.99 for Hulu?
For a month.
Wow.
So that's each month, since I bought it when I did,
can
get
people
it.
Still get that or just Black Friday?
Probably not. They missed out. Sorry.
Okay.
But I got it.
Okay, so what did you start watching?
Okay, so The Handmaid's Tale.
The what?
The Handmaid's Tale.
Is about?
It's so messed up.
Okay, so, is it creepy? Is it?
I mean, it's creepy. It's so this, I think it's set in the future part, but all the women in the world are, actually, I can't explain it.
It must be that good.
No, it is really good. It's just I'm not a good explainer.
Okay. Hand what?
Handmaid's Tale. And then I've been watching some murder documentaries.
And we're watching, well, Cherry's watching. I'm kind of coming in on Designated Survivor.
We talked about this.
Yeah, so that was, it's pretty good. You know?
Until season two.
Yeah, and then I went home and told her, I'm like, hey, not to bum you out, but I know you're on the end of season one. Yeah. But Jenny says season two's terrible.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe it's season three. But once you start watching, because you're like all in for like, maybe it is the first two seasons. And then like after that, it's goes just away. Like, yes.
Goes away.
And it's happened to three people I know.
They quit watching?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not that way with Yellowstone. I would go back and watch.
Is that on Hulu?
Huh?
Is that on Hulu? Because I saw Yellowstone live yesterday.
It is on Hulu.
On Hulu.
Isaac shaking his head yes. I have
okay,
no idea.
Okay, maybe I'll start watching it.
We bought it off of Amazon. I think we had to buy it.
Oh, you did? But it's on Hulu. It said Yellowstone Live, so I was really confused. Hulu.
Anyway, we have a bunch of different things that I just randomly sign up for.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix, Prime,
yep.
CBS, all something, because we wanted to watch Survivor while we were down in Florida.
Mm.
Then I end up having another account for something else, and then I forget I have them until I see it come across my credit card. I'm like, God, I cancel it, and then, dang,
I know,
I
never happens.
Never happens.
I would love to be on Survivor.
Why don't you apply for that
I
one?
I really should.
Yeah, you should.
I should.
Yeah, I could be a survivor.
You could.
Yeah, I'd make it a survivor.
I would survive because I would just act like an idiot. And everybody would think that I was super dumb, and that would be my strategy.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to talk about Travel Light. So
yes,
that's
we are.
A new series that we just started here at Life Church, and it leads up to our Christmas Eve service, which we've done for a lot of years. So we've done Eve for multiple different reasons. So we want people to still have a family tradition. And what was interesting is, so when we first did Christmas Eve or Eve, when we started the church, nobody came.
Nobody?
And you know why? Because you always invite people back to your church, you know, so if a church plant, is this really your church? You know what I mean? So they would go back and their family would invite them to their church and they would go back and so we'd hardly have anybody come. So what's neat over the evolution of Life Church, that this has become people's home church and so they invite family and people to come. So anyway, we do it on Eve Eve and on Eve Eve we share the gospel. So it's an opportunity for us to tell people about Jesus and we all know that Christmas and Easter are the two times that most people are likely to come to church.
Yeah.
You know, they call them Creasters. Have you ever heard that before?
No. What is it? Creasters?
Creasters. Christmas and Easter.
That used to be me.
So you were a Creaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you come on Christmas and Easter, right? But again, we don't want to waste the opportunity. We'll share the gospel.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're doing this series called Travel Light leading up to it. So here's the idea behind Travel Light. So we'll see what you think, right? So here's the idea.
Yay.
No, so the idea is that Paul talks about the concept of life is like running a race.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a good runner?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Actually, I forgot to tell you. I just today got approved for the 2021 Chicago Marathon.
What?
Yeah. So you remember how I was going to run it last year or this year?
Yeah.
Technically, it's last year. But then I got injured, and then I got injured again, and then COVID.
Okay.
So.
And you have to be approved?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like you send in your submission or your.
Why? Just so many people?
I don't know. That's a great question that I don't know
how
the answer
to. How long's a marathon?
26.2 miles.
Judas.
Yeah. Or 0.3.
I don't know. It's a long way.
Yes.
Right.
But in Chicago, like that marathon is so intense that the whole entire, like 26 miles, there are people cheering you on.
Just hopefully it doesn't end up like the Boston Marathon.
That's fine.
No, it's not. That would be do you remember what happened at the Boston Marathon?
I do. That was an intense day in history.
Yeah, people got blown up.
I know.
Well, it's not fine if it happens. So there's nothing fine if the Chicago Marathon has a bomber.
Okay, I didn't mean it like that.
It's okay.
I mean,
as long as somebody's cheering me on, if somebody gets blown up,
I'll take it for the team.
Yeah, so anyway.
I didn't mean it like that.
You are a runner.
Because I was, yes, I am.
Not a fast runner. Or are you fast? Like, are you a sprinter or a long-distance runner?
Long distance. But I can run pretty quick, if it's short distance.
Okay. So the idea is life is like a race.
I love that verse, though.
You know, so life is like a race. Mm-hmm. So Paul would say, think about what's the prize, right? So what are you running for? So, you know, if you're in a race, you're running a race, what's the prize? And then whatever the prize is, how do you train for it? You know, so for you, it's a 26 point something mile marathon.
Right.
Right. So there's a way to train, I'm assuming, right?
There's a correct way.
Yeah, because you didn't do it the correct way last time.
Correct.
And when you didn't do it the correct way last time, what happened?
You get injured.
And
you about get a hip replacement.
And
actually.
It disqualified you from the race.
Yeah.
Right.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, so the idea is that there's a plan, right, to run the race.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't follow the plan and we do it our own way, it can lead to injury.
You're right.
And disqualification, right? Yeah. Like, it takes us out of the game, not meaning we can't get back in the race, just like now, mm-hmm. right? So you're getting back in the race. Right. You're going to be able to do it again, but you had to sit out.
Yeah.
You had to sit on the sideline and wait for yourself to heal, wait to be put back in the race, like all the stuff that goes with it. So Paul would say, treat life like a race, you know, and understand that there's a prize. So what do you think, so that from the concept of, like, what do you think he's talking about when he says train or live like or be prepared, like run your race effectively? So applying it to how you do for the Chicago Marathon, like you're getting ready in a certain way and there's a proper way to train. What do you think he's talking about when there's a proper way to run the race, like, and a proper way to train? Like, any thoughts about what that would look like?
Like in a Christian life?
Yeah, like for our own Christian life. Like when he's saying compare your life to be like a race, and with the thought process of when you run the Chicago Marathon, what will you get at the end?
Satisfaction.
You don't even get a ribbon?
Oh, I don't, I'm sure.
Yeah, so you get a t-shirt and a ribbon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, stuff so like what that. He's saying is you'll train months, right? Like you're going to train months to get a ribbon, and you're going to take time out of your day to get a ribbon, and you're going to sacrifice a lot to get a ribbon, right? You're going to pay a lot of money to get a ribbon, right?
Yeah.
So he's saying all these people do all these things to prepare for a race that you get a ribbon. In this other race that Paul's calling you to live, you get a prize. You know, the prize is eternity. The prize is, you know, that you get to bring other people with you because of the way that you lived your life. So why do you think that it's difficult for people to live, like, because you'll set aside things and get ready for and look forward to the Chicago Marathon. But do you think about that same way in living your Christian life?
I think you should.
Yeah, but do most people think of it as a race? Like in preparation and like...
No, I don't think we're living like that way at all. Like, I don't think we're... I think sometimes we get so caught up in the world that we don't think that tomorrow isn't expected.
Okay.
I think we just live for the day without realizing like that eternity is what we should be living for.
Right. So we don't do a very good job of training for the race. Right.
No.
And we don't do a good job of putting ourselves in a position to win. Right. Because it, I mean, we don't want to just run the race. Like we want to be able to run to get the prize. Right. So travel light is this idea that if that's what God wants, what's hindering you from winning? Right? Like, what's keeping you from being able to run the race? Well, part of it is carrying things that you should never carry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're carrying baggage that you should never have. And so in that, we started off with this idea that here's part of the problem is stuff. Right? So Jenny's smiling because she's like, I just tuned it all out on Sunday.
I did.
Well, getting rid of
it was super cold in there.
Yeah, that was the only thing she wrote down in her notes. She says, I took good notes. On
no,
the
but
top
I did highlight
said,
it.
It's like freezing in here.
And I had something else to tell you, but I can't remember now.
That's what I said about the whole mess. So I said, hey, Jenny. So when I got in on Monday, I'm like, hey, Jenny, you know, podcasts, are you good for doing it? Just, oh, yeah, good for the podcast. I said, all right, so here's some things we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about this, the message. I said, can you tell me one thing at least?
Like, you just put me on the spot.
I said, this
you
is Monday morning. This is
Monday
morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 8 o'clock in the
morning. I
don't
wake up till noon.
So I'm like,
I might
no,
be
you
there.
Were, you were there.
I know.
Okay.
I was there.
So I said, hey, can you just give me one thing? Like just one point that you remember? And she's like, no, I have no idea what you were talking about.
Well, you asked me. Yes. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. I don't have no answer. No response. I was trying to defend myself, but yes, you're right.
So no. So here was the point. So the idea is get rid of stuff.
Right? Yeah.
So so one of the scriptures we looked at was the scripture of the rich young ruler.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, hey, what do I need to have eternal life? This isn't a knock-knock joke. Like, you're smiling like I'm going to say. You're looking at me like you're waiting for the punchline.
I was.
So if you're watching us online, you can see Jenny's face. She's like, this isn't a punchline.
Did I look creepy?
No, I'm just like, well,
I'm thinking in
okay,
my head.
Okay, I thought you were going to be like, knock, knock. This is the rich man. This is a
Who's
joke
there?
About the rich man.
It's Jesus.
Yeah.
You need to
Jesus
get rid of your
too.
Stuff.
Like, this is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We
could
have made it one.
Rich young ruler.
Yeah.
So he goes to Jesus.
I know this.
Okay. Do you want to just, you could go ahead and explain
no,
it.
No, please,
then.
You.
Dan, like,
about how he was told to get rid of all of his stuff.
How did it start, though? Like, what did he want? What did he go and ask Jesus?
Please don't ask me this.
No, it's okay. What do you think he asked him?
A knock joke. More money?
No. He said, Jesus, what's it take to inherit, what to get eternal life?
Oh, okay,
so Jesus, like, that's what you meant.
Yeah. That was going to be what I meant to say, but it didn't come out. You started talking too quick. You interrupted me.
Okay, I apologize. I didn't let you get the answer. I'll give you a chance here in a second.
Yeah.
Okay, so
don't.
Then Jesus said, okay, why did first of all call me good? You know, so he says,
yeah.
You know, have you done these things? Follow these commandments.
Right, wait, are you asking me?
Huh? No, I'm saying this is what he said to the rich young ruler.
Yes.
Have you done these things? Yeah, I follow these commandments. Rich young ruler's like, absolutely, done all of those things. And so Jesus said then, okay, you only have one thing left. What do you think the one thing left was? This is the punchline. Drum roll, one thing left was he needs to
get rid of all the stuff.
Yeah, get rid of all the stuff. Right. Woo! So then the big question was, before we even get to how he responded, is that what Jesus wants of everybody? Does Jesus want everybody to get rid of all their stuff?
Only if it's like affecting your life.
Yeah, so how do you determine that? Like, how do you determine whether or not your stuff is affecting the way that you live?
For example?
Running the race. Like, how do you know that it's affecting the way you run the race?
If you have a shopping problem and you put that before God. I don't know who does that, though.
Does Jenny have a shopping problem? Everybody can vote online. Jenny, do you feel like you have a shopping problem?
Some days. It's very impulsive. Very.
You're shopping.
Yes.
Yeah, so let's just talk about what does it mean? So you're saying if your stuff gets in the way.
Yeah.
Right? So if somebody shops, how does it get in the way of them running their race? Because that's the analogy.
Right.
So the analogy is that you're out there, you're trying to run the race. How does shopping get in the way?
Well, for example, maybe not like in that sense, but it could be like hindering you from tithing. Like you think you don't have enough money because you're spending money elsewhere.
Okay.
So that's an example.
Okay. So it would make it so you can't give.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's one. Or maybe you're spending too much time shopping.
Okay.
Or you're shopping and you're Black Friday shopping and everybody's being rude and you're not being the Christian that you should be because you're mad too.
Okay. Yeah.
I could go on and on.
Yeah. So, and again, how like the more stuff you have.
Yes.
Is that better or worse? Like in
again,
your mind.
Depends.
Okay.
On if it's affecting you with and God.
Yeah, because part of it would be is like the other thing we said is we should probably get rid of some things. Are you okay?
Maya's calling me.
Is that a problem?
I don't know what she needs.
Huh?
What?
Is she calling you because the cafe's burning?
I've never been called before. Huh?
Well, I answer it on the podcast.
Should I?
See what she has to say. But in the process of answering it on the podcast.
Yeah. Hello?
Hey, Maya, you're on the podcast,
so make
sure you don't say anything bad.
Is everything okay?
Logged us out of Square, and I don't know how to get back in.
Oh, crap. Okay, type in Jenny at lifehuntington.com. I can't say the password over the air.
Okay, I'm gonna type it to her.
Oh, I'm gonna text you the password.
Sorry, I forgot you're on the thing.
It's okay. I'm just like Mike was like, "Is the place burning down?"
Okay, so now while you're typing,
all right.
can you talk and type at the same time?
Sometimes. All right, bye, Maya.
Okay, so here's why you're typing out the password to our Square. Hopefully nobody on video can be watching this.
Oh, no. We're good.
Okay, you got it.
Yeah, but I hope she understands that things are capitalized and not capitalized for a reason.
Yeah, like I'm sure she could probably figure that out, don't you?
No. Wait, hold on. Okay, yeah. All right.
Silence on the air is Jenny.
Is it awkward?
The awkward silence is Jenny typing out that I don't know how big this password is, but for the last 5 minutes, she's been typing something on her phone. And the password for the Square account might be like a whole sentence.
Well, I have to make sure that she understands that there's with capitals and
number. Okay, well, she
number.
Can figure that out or try it, can't she? Like,
you would think. Yeah. Yes.
No,
can.
She's good. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay, so we're back to stuff.
Stuff.
So maybe we should throw out some things. Because here,
yes.
Would you agree with this? The more that you have, the more that you have to organize. Do you have a lot? Is your closet full?
You should see my closet.
Do you have a lot of shoes?
Yes, but I'm very organized. My closet is Roy G. Biv.
Do what?
So, you too.
Isaac, do you know what that means?
Yes, he was, yeah.
How would you know what Roy G.
Biv? How wouldn't you?
Huh?
It's
that sounds like
it's the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, Roy, green, blue, violet.
I am checking Isaac's closet because there's no way it's Roy G.
He's saying, yeah.
No.
I have a picture of my closet actually on my phone because I'm that proud of it. But I am the most organized person ever.
But would you find the more stuff that you have, the more stuff you have to organize?
No,
like, do you think
it's already organized?
No. So the question is, should people simplify? Like, I mean, is it important to be simple? Like, to simplify? Like, to not have so many choices? Like, could that be part of the hindering process?
For sure, because it's hindering me from moving out. Because last night I was putting up my laundry and I was looking at my closet and I'm like,
you were looking at the Roy G or Bib? I was looking at like, which part of your closet were you
looking at?
I was looking
at it all, the whole rainbow, okay, the whole setup. And I was like, I really do not want to have to move all this stuff.
Yeah. So again, the idea being, there could be a time, because this is the thing to think about. Mm-hmm. Do you think that people would struggle like this? So, like, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
When we lived in the trailer, so when Sharon and I were first married, we lived in a trailer. So if somebody would have asked us, like, "Hey, do you want to move?" We had like the trailer. It cost us $8,000 for us to go move and go somewhere else. Like, what's $8,000?
Okay. Yeah.
Lived in that for 6 years. Then we built a 5,400 square foot house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
that's a big difference.
Oh, it's a huge house. Like, I kept her in the trailer too long. You know, that was the problem. Yes. Like, she was like, "I'm going to build this house."
Yeah.
So now you have this big, beautiful, built to your specifications. And now somebody asks you to move.
Mm-hmm.
How, is that harder?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So that's my point is, so if you get to the point, not that it's wrong to have a 5,400 square foot house, but if God asks you to do something, because this was the rich young ruler, right? God's just saying, you need to do this, and he's saying, I can't, right? That was his response. His response was, I can't. So when people, like after the service, a guy came up and he's like, "Hey, I kind of feel bad now because I have this sports car, convertible sports car, and I don't really use it, and I don't really need it, and now you've kind of made me feel bad for owning it."
Really?
And I'm like, that's not what I meant to do.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. Own your sports car until he tells you to get rid of your sports car. But if your sports car keeps you from doing the will of God, if it doesn't keep you from doing it, then who cares? Have a sports car. If it keeps you from doing it, so I always tell people, evaluate your stuff that way. So,
agreed.
You know, get to the place where if God asked you to give it up, would you be able to do it? Or would it be so complicated that you would never be able to do it because you have so much going on? So, like, for us, we have businesses and other stuff, and people say all the time, like, what would happen? And I'm like, I don't really care. It could come and it could go, and we could sell it. We could not have it. It doesn't really make me any difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, so that was part of it. What? What is
nothing's
the,
funny.
Huh? Something's funny.
Nothing's funny.
Because
nothing's,
you keep giving me this nothing, look.
I'm not. You think I am, but I'm not.
Okay, well, then why are you going
face.
Like this?
Okay.
Okay.
It's my thinking phase.
Okay. Well, anyway, okay. So that's part of it. Here's the other part of it. Are you ready?
I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
Why? Is this boring you?
No.
Okay. No, it's not. Here's the next part.
I'm listening.
Okay. Here's the next part of it.
Yes.
So the next part of it, the next part of scripture was, here was a guy, life was going good, harvest went great, and he says, "Hey, I'm going to do what?
Take your crop."
Hmm?
What?
You said the guy's going to take a crop?
Take your crop.
No.
I'm going to give you more crop.
So his crop was great.
Yeah, so he's going to give him more.
Great. So what did the guy say I need to do? But this great big crop and
this
things
is a
are
trick
going
question.
Good.
What?
It's not a trick question.
Did you say it in church?
Isaac, do you know?
So
dang
the guy
it.
Had
Isaac
this,
doesn't know either.
Okay, now I feel much better about my life.
So that's why I said, well, I don't even know why I preach.
No, like, don't even take that from
I'm
me.
I'm not. Listen, no, here's so.
You should see my notes.
No, here's how it goes. So the guy gets a great crop, and he doesn't have anywhere to store it. So he says, what am I supposed to do? So he builds bigger barns.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he has all these bigger barns. Is there something wrong with my face? Because Jenny can't look at me without laughing. Is there something hanging down or?
Everything.
Huh? Is that better?
No, you're good. You're kay. Good.
Anyway, are you good?
I'm ready.
Okay,
I'm
so
ready.
Now he built bigger bars.
Okay.
The idea is now he has enough to last forever. So what's he going to do? Sit around, eat, drink, and be merry. Right.
So it's Christmas season.
So the concept would be you got blessed, God blessed you. You decided the best way to handle the blessing was save it all up, put it all away, build bigger barns so that you no longer have to work the way you were, mm-hmm. and you have enough to last you forever. So now you can just sit around, eat, drink, and be merry. Something's happening.
No.
Something's going on.
No, there's really nothing going
okay,
on.
Okay, so here's the deal. Right. Yes. So then in the scripture, right, compared to life, here's the question. Why is this... Is this not going over well?
No, what? It is. It's me. I don't know what's so funny. Oh, my gosh. I'm losing it.
Okay. Okay, here we go.
Yes.
Back on track.
Yes.
Okay, so now.
Yes. Have you ever been in a service like and just started laughing for no reason? You know, I've gotten kicked out of church for that.
No. So here's the thing. I have not sat in a service.
So again, how long?
Well, I mean, you think about, so 52 weeks in a year, there might be 2 weeks out of the year that I'm not preaching.
Okay, but what about back then?
Huh? When's back then? Like 20 years ago?
Yeah, sure.
I was usually teaching Sunday school.
What about in school?
I hated church and didn't know Jesus.
In school? Yeah. So you probably laughed a lot.
I didn't go.
Oh. Well, if you were there, you
why
probably
would I go and laugh a lot?
I don't know.
Because I would just not even go.
Okay.
If I went, I would probably sleep. I doubt if I would laugh. Mm. So the point is, are you good now?
I'm back.
So
we can, okay. I think I'm good now.
So the idea is people live that way.
Yes.
So this idea I'm going to save up for someday. So I'm going to work my entire life mm-hmm. to save up for the time when I can retire, save up for the time when I can get married, save up the time when I have kids, save up, you know, for the whole someday,
yes.
you know, mentality. Is it wrong to work for or prepare for someday?
Mm-hmm. No. I mean, it can be.
Okay.
I mean, we don't know if we're going to live tomorrow or not.
Right.
But I think that's just something that we're, like, born to do or raised to do is to
what?
Save for the future.
Okay. Like retirement. So yes. Tell me what your thoughts are on retirement.
I can't wait.
Really? You yeah. will retire?
I don't know. I like to be busy and working.
Yeah, see, I'm not retiring.
Ever?
Never.
I could see that.
Yeah, I'm not going to retire.
Yeah, I could
I don't want to sit in a rocking chair. Because you know what happens when people sit in a rocking chair?
They get fat.
No, they die.
That is true.
This happens, right? Yes. Like people retire yes. from a job and then they go sit in a rocking chair and yeah. 6 months later they're dead.
I just think it would be so boring.
Huh?
So boring.
No, I'm just trying to decide what's the purpose of retirement.
That's a great question.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. what are you retiring from?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to keep being active because... Yeah. Jobs don't mean, I mean, it's not the job. When I talk about retirement, I'm never going to retire from trying to figure out how to reach yeah. people. I mean, vocationally or whatever, mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to sit around and do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try to figure out how to continue to reach people. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really trying to prepare for the time when I don't need any money, you know, to make yeah. it so I don't need any money. I'm trying to figure out how to prepare for tomorrow or how do I prepare for the opportunity to continue to reach people,
mm-hmm.
right? Because... Yeah. I think all of us have learned this because do you remember the story I told about me wanting to become a millionaire?
I do.
Yeah. So I wanted to be a millionaire,
yeah.
you know, before I was 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So everything I was doing was prepare for when I get 40 years old, I make $1 million or I have $1 million and I can retire and do whatever I want to do.
And that's funny that you thought that then and now you're like, outlook on it is completely different.
No, I know. So yeah. that was my point. So but what changed my outlook is that my mom died, and she's 51 years old.
Right.
And then you start thinking about, you know what, someday might never come.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I living for someday when I don't know that I'm going to get tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, and so that was the whole idea of, you know, trying to figure out how to travel light is this understanding that we should live in such a way that we shouldn't try to figure out how to work our entire life to store up for someday. We mm-hmm. should try to figure out how to live for today.
That's right? what I'm saying.
Huh? That's what you're doing?
That's what I'm saying.
Are you saving? Do you save?
Are
you a good saver?
No.
No?
I really try, and then I get to the store, and I'm like, ooh, I need that. So then I transfer money, even
and then
though
your savings account goes away?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm trying. I've opened a savings account. I've opened an additional checking account. So I have
an additional?
Three accounts.
You have three checking accounts?
Yeah. So I have money everywhere so that I feel like I don't have money. That's what I'm doing.
So if you need some financial counseling, Jenny's your
David
girl.
David Ramsey. Like,
Dave Ramsey does not tell you to have three checking accounts.
Is his name David? Or is it Dave?
Dave Ramsey.
David, I bet.
I don't know.
I just
but Dave Ramsey's suggestion is not to have three different checking accounts.
It
so
was
you don't know
fine print.
That was
when I read
fine
it.
Print.
Yeah.
So anybody that has any Dave Ramsey information might want to remind Jenny that the idea isn't to have three checking accounts
That's
so you don't
smart.
Know that you money.
No, they're not all checking accounts.
Oh.
One's a savings.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you spread it out, like you don't think you have any money.
Right. That's my mindset.
Okay. Got it.
It's not working. at all.
Yeah, because you just find the other accounts.
Yes, I need to open a different account, like in a completely different bank.
Right, right. Because they're all in the same bank, you just get on your app and it shows all three of them.
Yeah, it's stupid. I don't know.
It might be why Dave Ramsey never suggested
probably.
It. Yeah, I think that's probably
what a great guy.
Idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever read his books?
I have, but taken his class.
Have you really?
Yes.
Why?
In Kentucky.
Why? Because you had to?
I was in rehab.
Yeah. In rehab, they made you take the course?
Yeah.
Okay, total mm-hmm. money makeover.
Mm-hmm. And
so,
then.
So you learned about the debt snowball?
I mean, I should have learned about it. Okay, financial stuff makes me mad. And I'm not going to lie, I wasn't very nice in those classes.
Why? Why does financial stuff make you mad?
Don't tell me what to do with my money.
Well, no. Wait a second. Whose money?
God's money.
Okay. So don't tell me what to do with God's money. I mean,
exactly.
It's just his.
Exactly. He would want me to buy these shoes.
Huh? So, yeah, I'm sure. Like, if I ran this past God and he was like,
yeah,
help the poor or buy another set of shoes for Jenny.
Or both.
For sure, God would say, oh, yeah, buy a set of shoes.
There's a shoe company that you can buy them
yeah, what is
and
it
then
called?
They donate.
What's it called?
Tom's. Is it Tom's?
It is Tom's.
Woo! I was right. Yes.
Yeah.
Finally, I'm
so, sure. Did you buy Tom's?
No.
That's my point. So the point
but,
is, huh? What's the point?
I don't have any.
No, you bring up a great point.
Okay.
So when you're saying you hate financial things, because I think a lot of people are like you.
Yes.
Like they hate the idea of, because I said, so when I do marriage counseling with people, mm-hmm. you have to do a budget. So if you ever get married, am I going to be your counselor?
Probably, but I don't. That's
are you
going to
have somebody else marry you?
What do you mean?
Like somebody else be your pastor to marry you? Is that how it's going to work?
No.
Okay. So but, if I'm your pastor, I'm doing your counseling.
Okay.
Okay, just okay. So you know.
Okay. But I don't know when that day is going to be, so.
Well, if you get on The Bachelorette, it might be sooner than later.
Wow.
Yeah, so here's the deal, right? So you have to come up with a budget.
Yes.
Why? Why is a budget important?
That's what I'm nervous about.
Why is a budget important?
I don't want to do a budget with somebody else.
No, why is a why can't you show people your money? Why does that matter?
That's not the issue here.
What is it?
I don't want to somebody else to see what's going on in my life.
Why?
Because I am an impulsive spender.
Yeah, I know. So what matters? So somebody can look at it. You're not embarrassed about it.
Oh, no. I don't care.
Yeah, so why would you care if I look at it?
I'd bring it on the air.
Huh?
I'd show the air.
Okay, did everybody hear that? So Jenny's bringing her budget next week so everybody can evaluate it. We'll take a picture and put it out on the
internet. Oh, my budget?
Yeah, no, your budget.
Well, I don't go by my budget. Jennifer did a budget with me, and that went out the air.
Yeah. So the point is, why have a budget?
To keep you in line, to help you save, to know where your money's going.
Because.
To be prepared.
Because.
For the future.
Because.
Because. That's
it's not your money.
Right.
It's not your stuff.
Yes.
You are a steward.
Yes.
Of all of his things.
I tithe.
I didn't say you did.
Okay.
This wasn't a question. Did you think I was like, had this behind the scenes thing saying like, hey, Jen, you know, I'm going to try to get, like the pastor's trying to get Jenny to tithe, so let's make her feel bad about her spending.
No, this isn't that at all. I'm very proud of myself.
No,
because
you know what's funny about the tithe?
What?
That part of it is like, oh, I'll put it in my budget because I'm going to give it.
Yeah.
You know, and then it becomes like a budget line item, and then you do anything you want with the rest of your money. So is that really how it's supposed to work?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds great.
Huh?
That's what
you
I
know
mean.
What I'm saying. Like, the part of the struggle with the tithe is that people just make it a budget line item like they're saving. And I'm not telling people not to do it, but I always say, listen, one of the things to think about is none of it's ours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just 10% of it isn't ours. Like, none of it is ours.
Right.
So your car, your house, your every resource you have, it's not yours. So treat it like it's his.
Mm-hmm.
So use it as an opportunity to further the kingdom. So when you're making decisions, you have to think through the whole idea. Like, for sure, God likes guns. I tell myself that all the time when I go to the gun store. Huh?
Oh, right? I didn't say anything. I just laughed.
No, I'm saying that. Yeah, God wants people to own guns.
Yeah, God wants me to have nice makeup.
No, listen, so God likes makeup and guns.
Right.
Yeah, so there are times when we look at the stewardship end of it, we have to say, well, God,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
That 9mm must have been something he really
wanted.
Yeah,
I mean, you
got to
protect
yourself.
So
I'll keep it in the safe. I know it's yours.
Right,
but,
right.
You know,
right.
Yeah. Because Isaac's getting his new gun this week.
I wish I could get a gun.
Yeah, no, Isaac's getting a gun. Taddy's got it for him, so it's
Aww.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I bought it, but Tad got it in for him, so it's.
I'll never
it's gonna
be allowed to have a gun.
Why?
Because I'm a felon. Isn't that rude?
Is that really true? When you're a felon, you can't own a
That's
gun.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm high risk. You don't want me, but I do have these two guns.
I didn't know that was the case.
You didn't?
I did not know well, that a felon couldn't own a gun.
You should feel very well rested right now.
That you don't own one?
Yes. Yes.
But you'd be a good shot if you had one?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now, idea, travel light, mm-hmm. treat it as it is, all of those things. Understand. Then he gets to the end, and mm-hmm. essentially it's this idea of Timothy commands, you know, Paul tells Timothy, command people to be generous. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's easy to be generous? Do you think people, why do you think giving, because do you know the percentage of people that give, like Christian people?
Is it 30%? 20? 10? 5.02.
Less than 1% of Christians give on a regular basis. Less than 1%.
On a regular basis?
Yeah.
Biweekly basis.
No, like meaning a regular basis, whether they give it once a month, whether they give it once a week, or they give it like meaning that they've made a decision to give money. Right?
Seriously.
Yeah, less than 1%.
In the whole entire world.
Well, in the United States. Christians.
Okay.
Why do you think that is? Why is it so hard for people to give? Why do you think it's hard for people to be generous?
I don't know. Because I think it's theirs.
Are you generous?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really?
Yeah, I always.
So if you see somebody in need, like on the street corner with a dollar for a hug, like you'd go give it to them?
If they had a joke sign that said, yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah, so you, yeah. But being generous is not a big deal for you.
No.
But do you think, do you think people struggle being generous?
Yes.
So what is our role? So let's talk about, so we talked about politics some.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go back on the political world?
I mean, we can.
Yeah, so again.
I thought we were past that.
I don't know. We always want to bring politics back in. How are we doing on time? We doing good? Okay,
five.
We got about 5 minutes. So here's how we're going to end it up. So what is the role of the Christian church when it comes to helping people in need? So I've always said, like if you look at services that are in communities. I'm not saying they're wrong, so anybody that gets mad about this, don't get mad. I'm not saying services are wrong.
Okay.
Okay? I'm not saying food stamps and all that stuff is wrong.
Wait, what do you mean? People giving them?
I'm saying, like, as an example, the government has said, if you're in need, the government's going to help you.
Oh, okay. Right? You're saying food stamps, like getting food stamps?
I'm just saying government-assisted programs.
Gotcha.
Right? You're in need. You need something. The government says we're going to take care of you, so we're going to give you the money, right? Or we're going to give you the food stamps, or we're going to give you whatever you need, right? Whatever that is. So as a Christian, people would look at Scripture and say, well, that's exactly what Scripture tells us to do. Like, everybody helped each other, and nobody ever had any needs. And I'm like, it's not what it says. Scripture says people helped people, not the government. Right.
But isn't the government people?
No, but again, Christians helping Christian people. Mm-hmm. That's what, if you want to go by what the Scripture says.
Yeah.
So Scripture says Christian people helped Christian people.
Yeah.
Or Christian people helped the people in the community. And when they did it, there was nobody within need.
Mm-hmm.
So is it the church's responsibility? Is it people's responsibility? And if we did it, do you think we'd need all those services?
No.
If people gave?
Yeah. No.
And so then why don't we? Why aren't people more motivated to give?
I don't know, but I think a lot, like, it's helped this pandemic season. A lot has turned around with that. Like, there's this Huntington Helping Neighbors, and they always set up something down by the Huntington Library.
Well, you know what's funny? Hmm. They just had a report out that the Salvation Army believes, when you're talking about you think giving should go up,
yeah,
the Salvation Army is projecting 55% decline in giving this year.
Wow.
55% decline. Wow. Another one that does, like, the warm coat thing. Like, people are going to get warm coats. So, like, 156,000 coats are needed. This year, they need 356,000 coats. They're down, like, 30% on the people that give coats to begin with.
Oh,
need
gosh.
Is up. Giving is down. Why?
People are hoarding because of everything.
Toilet
paper. yesterday was Santa hats.
Huh?
I swear people were hoarding Santa hats.
Because you went to get some and there wasn't any?
I went to get one. I had to take a picture in it. Literally know where I went. And then the place I did end up had one Santa hat.
Yeah, I think what this has done, and I wondered how this would
scarcity.
Go.
Scarcity. It's made
is that, yeah, like the whole idea is the scarcity mindset. Mm-hmm. So they're worried, like, I don't know what my job's going to look like. I don't know what this is going to happen. And so I need to make sure I have enough to get through.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like that takes faith out of it. Like, if
Scripture
tells us if you see somebody in need, you should meet the need, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you have the ability to meet the need, you should meet the need. Mm-hmm. So it seems like in this time, the need's out there. people have been getting unemployment checks. People have been getting things to keep their resources going. It just seems like as Christian people, we need to start processing, why is it when God's called us to be generous and mm-hmm. called us to give and called us to live, you know, again, like, we don't have to have a bunch of stuff. Like, we don't have, you know, simplified life, living in a way that God's called us to live, that we should be generous, because the key to all of this is that we have said we should be different than the world, right? Like, and so part of being different in the world is traveling light, right? Not having tons of stuff, not being able to give when we need to give, you know, and not being focused on whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So something for us to all think about, something to try to figure out how to apply to our lives, trying to understand how to bring it all together and help us, you know, be better. And that's what we're going to keep talking about. So next week's distractions, this should be a good one for you.
Oh my gosh, I saw that.
Yeah, so we're going to try to keep, Jenny from being distracted during the service so she can actually take some notes.
I did take notes. I just didn't bring them up here.
Yeah, I know, because you got distracted. That was the problem.
I did. I was writing on my hand.
Yeah, so what are the distractions keeping us from running the race? We're going to talk about that next week. Yeah. So thanks, everybody, for being here with us. Hope you guys will subscribe, keep coming on, listening, give us feedback. We'd love to hear your feedback, and we want to continue to help you in your journey of faith or journey of trying to figure out faith in your life. All right, thanks for being here. We'll see you guys next week.